This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave, in for Terry Gross. British writer Jane Stevenson made a splashy debut last year with her collection of four novellas called Several Deceptions. Now she's written her first novel, London Bridges. Book critic Maureen Corrigan says the more Stevenson, the better.
It's fitting that the title of Jane Stevenson's first novel, London Bridges, is architectural in nature. Anyone who, like me, read and swooned over Stevenson's publishing debut last year, a collection of four novellas entitled Several Deceptions, already knows that Stevenson is an elegant writer who's partial to clean lines, sharp turns, and Chrysler Building-type pointed endings. Four Deceptions happily reminded me and other reviewers of O. Henry's short stories, because each novella contained an ultimate aha moment of surprise. London Bridges is a longer literary enterprise, so it's structured differently. Instead of one big vertical exclamation point, this novel is built more like, well, a bridge, whose narrative jolts and coincidences are lengthily strung out. But the most beguiling aspect of Stevenson's writing has nothing to do with architecture or utility. She's really an aesthete, someone for whom a witty, acrobatic story is its own excuse for being. Many of her characters are academics, and her language and references are intellectually adroit. In this novel, for instance, she alludes to William Blake, T.S. Eliot, and Jane Austen, and the crux of the story has to do with a missing Greek homoerotic epic poem. Educated allusions aside, however, Stevenson is not a big idea writer. I think that's why London Bridges, which is stylized and screwball comic in a kind of restrained Barbara Pym-ish way, has gotten some lukewarm reviews. I enjoyed it, but then I'm also a sucker for those middle-brow Brit-wit sitcoms that my local PBS station airs on Saturday nights. And London Bridges is indeed something of the literary equivalent of As Time Goes By and Keeping Up Appearances. In a pub scene at the very end of London Bridges, a character tidily sums up the gnarled, multi-twists of fate plot here by saying, "What actually happened is we've sort of accidentally solved a crime which no one knew had even happened just by getting to know each other." Those characters who, through flukes, do get to know each other mostly constitute a lineup of the New Britain. Among them are Janine Malone, an expatriate Australian in London to study classical Greek, Dil Desi, a lawyer and first-generation Londoner whose Indian parents operate a sweet shop, Sebastian Raphael, a gay classics scholar, and the villain of the piece, Edward Lupsett, a cash-poor but lineage-heavy old Etonian who works alongside Dil, and who resents the energy and the effrontery of anyone who's out of the blue blood mainstream. In the course of carrying out some legal drudgery, Lupsett stumbles upon a trust established centuries ago by the Greek community in London to support an Orthodox church, which turns out to have been demolished in World War II. Lupsett suspects that somewhere in London there's a big pot of unclaimed money that's been accumulating interest for decades. His snooping leads him to a crumbling Dickensian townhouse in a forgotten square where a man older than dirt named Mr. Eugenides presides over ancient treasures, that is, until he's murdered. Meanwhile, the lives of the other characters intersect in unexpected ways until all converge in an outrageous, exuberant chase scene finale featuring druids and eco-warriors on motorbikes. I said before that Stevenson is not a big idea writer, and that's true, but I didn't mean to imply her novel is all style, no substance. Without a trace of politically correct sermonizing, Stevenson revels in the surprising cross-cultural and cross-racial connections, the bridges, as it were, that living in any city inevitably promotes. For a relatively short novel, London Bridges really gives readers a sense of the multitudinousness of London, and it meditates on the cost of embracing those changes that give the city its vitality. Matthew Arnold, the Victorian critic few people read anymore, once talked about sweetness and light as being the two top literary virtues. Funny London Bridges contains both sweetness and light, although granted, the light it sheds on contemporary London may be too soft and flattering for some cynics' tastes.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed the new novel, London Bridges, by Jane Stevenson. This is Fresh Air.